welcome to the November 30th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Here Comes the Sun. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning and welcome to College Park. On the first Sunday of Advent, if you can't believe that, well, I couldn't either. But when you see the candles up and the and hope on the front of the bulletin, you know it's Advent. And that means we're only five Sundays away. I want to say a good morning to you, not only on behalf of myself, but also on behalf of Jeff, our usual person who's up here and does a fine job. Jeff and Jennifer are on vacation, a well-deserved and well-earned vacation, but Jeff wanted me to send his greetings to you this morning. And if Jeff were here, he would want me to remember to say that the pew pads are there, located on the end of the pew, and if you will, just remember to complete the pew pad and pass it down to your neighbor. And if there's somebody there you don't recognize, take note of their name and please be sure to speak to them. I'm going to take just a few moments. We've got a great service and some things ahead, including a foreign missions emphasis and the lighting of the candle I want to get to. So just want to do a few brief announcements and keep it short. The first thing I want to announce is that today is the day for the exam packs. You know that it's a tradition at College Park that for exam, final exams, both in December and in May, we do an exam run to our college students who are all over the place, and there are a lot of them. And today is the day that we need the goodies back so that the exam packs can be put together and then taken out across North Carolina and beyond. So if you would, please have the goodies for the exam packs here by 5 p.m. today. And those should go in the Adult One kitchen, which is downstairs, just before you get to the youth room. The individually wrapped packs, we actually need 50. So if you're preparing something that would go in an individually wrapped package, whether homemade or bought, 50 is the right number for that. So if you can have those here by 5 p.m. today, that would be a huge help. And y'all are great to participate in that effort and certainly want to thank you for that. I want to say a few brief words about the schedule, first for today and then for this week and the entire Advent season. If you will, I'll turn your attention to the back of your order of worship, which has the detailed schedule for this week. We do have the regular full schedule for tonight, regular youth activities, the life service at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall, and we will have discipleship, our Bible study, tonight at 6 o'clock. For those of you who have been coming, I'm sorry we didn't have it last week when I was sick, but we will have it this week, and this will be our last week. And for anybody who's interested in coming tonight, you're welcome to come, and every Sunday night stands alone, so you won't have missed anything. We'd love to have you. We're going to be talking about several of Jesus' parables and applying them to some things going on in our lives, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock down in Adult 3, and I promise I'll have the heat on down there. So that'll be at 6 o'clock, life service at 7 o'clock, and other activities tonight. You can see the list of activities for this week, which is significant, including next week, next Saturday, when there are several big things going on. The WMU Christmas Missions Brunch, which will be in Smith Hall Saturday morning. And also next week is the first week of basketball for our children and youth. And the schedule's printed there in the on the back of the order of worship as well. I also want to say a special note about December that after tonight, for all the Sunday nights in December, all of our activities are going to start at 6 o'clock. So if you're in December for Advent, no matter whether it's a music event or something else and you're not sure what time it is, it's 6 o'clock. And you can look at the highlights for the details, but the schedule for December is going to be everything's going to start at 6 o'clock. Their life is only twice during December. There are going to be some times of fellowship after the 6 o'clock hour. Next Sunday morning is Children's Sunday at Christmas here during the worship hour. And then City on the Hill music presentation next Sunday night at 6. So you can look at the highlights and see the schedule for the other Sunday nights in December. So I think that's all the announcements. I do want to say a special word of welcome to our visitors. Whether you're visiting with us for the first time or you've been here many times, we appreciate you being here. It's good to have you here and good to see you. Our ushers are going to come down, and if you will just raise your hand high enough for them to see it, we have some information that we'd like to give to you, including a letter from our pastor and some more information about College Park. But most importantly, we just thank you for being here today. We hope that you'll find this a friendly and warm place, but also a place of worship as you gather with us this morning. I'd like to recognize Karen Valentine for our foreign mission emphasis.
Good morning to you. Our international missions emphasis begins today, November 30th through December 7th. In your bulletin this morning, you have received information about an envelopes for the Lottie Moon offering and the CBF Global Missions offering. Every penny of these offerings go to support Baptist missionaries who are serving around the world. This year, our church has set a financial goal of $25,000. This is a challenging goal, but not an unrealistic one. We have an opportunity here to demonstrate our faith in spite of the uncertain economic times we're facing. Most importantly, our missionaries need our prayer support, and we ask that you would pray each day this week for their safety and encouragement, and that all of their needs will be met. This Wednesday, December 3rd, we have a special guest speaker after dinner. Deborah Norris, a Baptist missionary, spent 9 years in the Gaza Strip serving God. She is now on staff at Ardmore Baptist Church. Please come out this Wednesday to hear her story and share her experiences. May God lead each one of us to participate in this very important work for His glory. Thank you.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah. It's contained on page 511 in the Pew Bible. If you'll please read with me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
And we're reading from Romans chapter 8, and that's on page 800 in the Pew Bibles, beginning at verse 18 through 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. Today we light the candle of hope.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Jesus, Messiah, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, we come this morning in hope. Lord, we know that hope comes from promise. Lord, we come in expectation that your promises are going to be fulfilled. Lord, we come in the hope that comes from your love and your sacrifice. Lord, we come in hope knowing that in the end, the victory is yours and the victory is ours with you. And so, Lord, we come this morning praising your name, giving thanks for the gift of you. Lord, we come in expectation of what you're going to do in this hour. Meet us here. Love us here. Lord, let us come to know you in a new and fresh way. Lord, let your name be given glory in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
have a seat just right here. Come on down. We'll wait for you. Oh, we got a lot this morning. All right. How you guys doing this morning? Mr. Fuzzy's not here today, so y'all are stuck with me. But I thought we'd do something kind of fun. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when he talked about being afraid of the dark? Do some of you remember that? Well, I want to talk a little bit about the dark again, but I was wondering if you would help me with a little experiment this morning. Does that sound fun? Okay, so you need two things when you're doing an experiment. One, you need a notebook. And so science has advanced so far that they've made notebooks as small as one little card right here. You see these? So I'm going to give each of you, take two and pass it around. Just pass that around. So you'll have your little notebooks. All right? Here, let's spread them out here. I'll give you a stack and I'll give you a stack. Y'all pass those out. Charlie's going to help me. He's one of my assistants this morning. That's another thing you need. Here, y'all pass these around back here. Is everybody getting one or two? Who still needs a couple here? There you go. All right, so everybody got their notebooks? All right, I want you to practice something with me. Take your notebook. You need two more? Oh, here we go. Thank you. All right, has everybody got one? Why don't you take your notebook and hold it up like this. Hold it up like this. Very, very prestigious. I want you to take your pretend pencil. All right, you got it? And I want you to go, very interesting. Can you say that? Very interesting. Very good. Okay, so you need a notebook. The second thing you need is a lovely assistant. So I would like to call my lovely assistant, Mr. Jeremy, up here. Say good morning, Mr. Jeremy. Well, he's one of my assistants. But this is my lovely assistant, Mr. Jeremy. Now, we're gonna do an experiment of what it's like to be in the dark, okay? But it's not dark in here, obviously, so we're going to create our own darkness by tying a blindfold around Jeremy. Jeremy.
Yes.
Can you see?
No.
Okay. So Jeremy cannot see at all. He's in darkness, right?
Yes.
Okay. First test. When I say, isn't that interesting, I want you to write down in your pretend notebook, very interesting. Can you say that one more time? All right. Good. So, first test. I want you to make your funniest face at Jeremy. Just go ahead. Go. I don't see any funny faces. All right. Jeremy, could you see those funny faces?
No.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? No. Okay, fine. Test number two. I want Jeremy to stand back here. I'm going to need a prop for this. Jeremy, very slowly, I want you to step forward until I say stop. See? He walked right into the book because you couldn't see. Isn't that interesting?
No.
All right, fine. Test number three. This one will be good, I promise. Jeremy, can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear the direction from which I'm coming? All right, I want you to shake my hand. No, Jeremy, I'm over here. No, over here. Jeremy. Seriously, over here. He couldn't shake my hand because he was in darkness. He couldn't see me. Isn't that interesting? Thank you. Church, was that interesting?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, y'all give Jeremy a big round of applause. He's been a lovely assistant today. I'll let you take that off. Thank you so much. So, it's hard to do stuff in the dark, right? You can't see when people are making funny faces at you. You can't walk because you might bump into things. What are some other things that happen when you're in the dark? Okay. Yeah. That's right. If someone's trying to get you, you can't see them. What else? It's hard, isn't it? You can't see, you don't know where anything is. And so what happens when it's dark? We want to have it light again, right? Because I'm afraid of the dark. I have to have a nightlight. So we want the sun to come up, right? Because the sun gives us light. The sun helps us see. The sun is warm. And it helps us get out of that cold, dark night. And so that's what this season that we call Advent is all about. This why we light the candles up here. It's called Advent because we're waiting for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Okay? So, that's what this whole season is about. So when it's dark outside and you're cold and you're afraid, just remember that this is the time of the year that we wait for Jesus Christ and He comes and He guides us and He loves us and He does all these things for us to help us get through that darkness. Okay? So, I want you to go home and tell your parents, what an interesting children's sermon you had today. All right? Can you pray with me? Dear God, we thank You for this time of Advent that we can wait for the light of the world to come into our lives because it's dark and it's cold without You. And so we thank You for sending Jesus to be with us and to guide us and to direct us through our lives every day so that we may feel Your warmth and we may feel Your love and we may feel the light that you give. And so we ask that You keep us warm and safe in this time of Advent and coming up to Christmas. And we ask this in Your name. Amen. All right, y'all can go sit down. You can keep your notebooks.
We've heard God's word this morning already, read from Isaiah and Romans by the Christ family with the lighting of the candle. I'll also be reading from the New Testament in Mark's Gospel in the 13th chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 24. This is Jesus speaking with four of His disciples on the Mount of Olives after He had been asked, after talking about the signs, when will these signs be fulfilled? We pick this up in verse 24 in the middle of Jesus sharing with the disciples. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. May God bless the reading and the understanding of His holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank You for this past week and the ways that You have blessed us. Thank You for the opportunity to slow down just enough to take stock of the things in our lives that we have to be thankful for, to spend some time with family or with friends and share that important time with them. We thank You for the way You've worked in our lives this week. Lord, as we begin this new week and as we look ahead, It's hard to believe the Advent season is upon us. Time is fleeting. But we're excited, Lord, when we think about the fact that Christmas is around the corner. And we are excited when we think about the things that Advent means to us. Lord, as we enter the Advent season, as we prepare to head toward Christmas, and think not just about the things that come ahead in terms of our plans and our work and our preparations for Christmas, for physical things, but also as we think about spiritual things, Lord, we ask that you come find us during Advent, that you come find us wherever we are, that you come find us as we hurt, as we grieve the loss of loved ones, as our hearts are heavy with difficult things that have happened, that our minds are heavy with stress and uncertainty and pressure and big decisions and difficult things that we're dealing with right now, Lord, for the things that we deal with in our daily lives that you know about because you know our hearts and minds, but that sometimes can keep us from you. Lord, I pray for all of us here that you would come find us wherever we are, even if we stepped away from you a little bit more than we should have. I pray that you come find us, Lord. Seek us out with your ever-abiding love and presence that we need so much, Lord. Come find us this week and come find us during Advent. And Lord, please give us the strength to go find you because it is a two-way street, Lord, and we need you so much. Our lives are enriched with your presence and with your love. Everything can be done with you and nothing can be done without you. Lord, give us the strength and the understanding and the spiritual maturity to take the time and the effort to go find you today and this week during Advent, so that this may be not just a special Advent, not just an enjoyable or a meaningful Advent, but it will be the Advent and the Christmas season that you have planned for our lives, that we may be who you created us to be. Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Help us to find you, Lord, and please continue to come find us no matter how far we've stepped away from you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name on earth as it is in heaven. God give us new every morning. Mercy is daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy. every heart complaint, the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart complaint, the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven.
Let us pray. Father, on this weekend that we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us remember those that serve us, our men and women in the military, police, fire departments, the doctors, nurses, teachers, and those in the mission fields. Let us always serve you with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face. Please accept these offerings and let them be used in your name. Amen.
Thank you. He will come as a man, born himself of woman. God divinely human. Ring bells, ring, ring, ring. Sing, choir, sing, sing, sing. When he comes, who will make him welcome? Mary, hail, though afraid, she believed, she obeyed. In the womb, God is laid, till the time expected. Nurtured and protected, ring bells, ring.
We've read a lot of scripture this morning, and that's good, but we're going to read a little bit more. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64, we're going to read the first nine verses of this, and this is one of our lectionary readings for today. So it comes from Isaiah chapter 64, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us has become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are your people. For we are your people. The first verse of this begins, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Another reading of that is, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. I don't know if you've ever got to that point where you were desperate enough that you looked at God and says, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. If you've ever had a teenager in your house, you've said that. Maybe you've just thought it. Maybe you've said it out loud. I think all of us at points of desperation, like, God, just come back. Just put an end to it. Let's stop this deal. And Isaiah, as he is writing this, he's writing on behalf of people who are very impatient. They're impatient. They're longing for God to act. Now, just a little background. Their impatience was actually justified. These were people who were children of captivity. They were the remnant of a nation that had utterly been destroyed by their captors. The enemies had come in, they'd invaded them, they'd occupied them, and then they'd carried them away. Now, the brightest and the best of the people were spared. Their lives were spared. They were carried away into captivity. So they were spared physically, but they lived with the homesickness. They lived with the what ifs. What if we had just only as a people done such and so? God's wrath would not have been poured out on us if only. And there was regret. It was a great deal of regret that they had to live with. And homesickness for over 100 years, they were in this situation. The time was marked by great sadness. It was marked by great lamenting. And a lot of that is actually recorded in Scripture. For example, Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we wept." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How could we do that? Well, 6 centuries before Christ, God raised up the prophet Isaiah to bring comfort and to give hope to these people who were captive, who were in exile. He said in Isaiah 40, as Jason read earlier, "Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Prepare the way of the Lord." That's what Isaiah was sent to do. He was telling them they could come home. They were going to be able to come home. And so imagine their relief when the exile ended. Now, the journey actually proved to be a little bit less joyful than they might have imagined. You know, remember, they went back into a land that had been occupied and destroyed. So although the ones that went back were probably not the ones, there may be a few of those that were originally carried away that went back, but by and large, it was the next generation. And they had been hearing for 100 years just about the glory of Jerusalem and Mount Zion and all of this. And they went back expecting one thing in their mind's eye, and they walked back to rubble. I mean, how disappointing is that? To get your hopes up of what you were going back to and show up. And that they just weren't prepared for the devastation that they saw. Remembering their anguish and their dashed hopes, they lamented in the same way that I think God's people lamented before this occurred. And in the same way that we perhaps lament now. We would say something like, "God, do something. Just do something." You know, in Scripture, in Isaiah 64, which we've just read, it says, "Tear open the heavens and come down." There's other ways it's been expressed. There's a traditional Advent prayer that says, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 3, "Deliver me, O my God." And there's a quiet table prayer that many of you may have learned as children that starts out, "Come, Lord Jesus." And you know the rest of it, I guess, to be right. Okay, that table prayer has its roots in the cries of frustration from believers who could no longer contain their impatience. Believers, faithful people are not immune to heartbreak. And so Isaiah exclaims in verse 1, "Oh, that you would tear the heavens, tear open the heavens and come down." That's an agonizing cry that's borne witness to by countless believers through all generations for many centuries. And even today, if you look around you at what's going on in our world, there's war, there's suffering, there's evil. And it seems like that's all we hear about on the 6 o'clock news is the bad stuff. And we want to say, "Come on, God, do something. Come on back. Make it right. Make it better." And maybe you're sitting there thinking, "Preacher, that, you know, is this the word for today? I mean, this is the candle of hope. You know, you're supposed to be giving us a warm, cheery message and talking about hope. What is all this gloom and doom?" The problem is it's dark. It's dark. Now, obviously, this is an oversimplification, but there's an important connection here. You see, the darkness of this season is real. Think about it. The days are shorter. Literally and apocalyptically speaking, perhaps. The days are shorter. I mean, you can't even get home from work before it's dark. And a strange thing happens in darkness. Darkness changes the way we live. You know, in darkness and in cold, there's scarcity. If you haven't produced enough food or you haven't stored away enough food, you'll go hungry. Because nothing grows in the darkness and in the cold. Cold and darkness contribute to solitude. And that could be a good word for you. If you're a person that needs a little me time, and you've got a good book, you know, and there's a fireplace in the corner, or gas logs, or your wife left the house so you turned the heat up, something like that. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But if you're in a cave centuries ago, or if you're on the street tonight, it changes your perspective, doesn't it? I mean, those of us who sat like idiots in a 36-degree rain last night at a ball game, we did it by choice. We're not very bright. But there are people who have no choice. And for them, that's a whole different reality. And you know, centuries ago, the darkness was so pervading, it was so penetrating that people began, especially in the northern European countries, they began to seek something during this time of year, something of comfort. So the Romans began observing the festival of Saturnalia, which was on December 25th. And the people gathered there for the feast and they celebrated. And in the midst of darkness, they celebrated warmth and light. They began worshiping the sun, S-U-N. Well, in the 4th century, Christians under Constantine wanted this solstice festival to become a Christian event. So they renamed it. They called it Christmas, Christ Mass, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And they set aside a preparatory time leading up to Christ Mass. And they called that Advent. So Advent and Christmas became the means for Christians to take advantage of a common human experience, the longing for light and warmth in the midst of darkness. And Christian leaders interpreted this Christian experience, this human experience, on a deeper level. And they named it the longing for God. And solstice was transformed into a time of hope. So today, we take our trees and our greenery and our poinsettias and we put them into our homes and we put them in our churches to remind us of life. And then we decorate our house. You know, we put tacky lights all over the place and the mailboxes and the fence posts and the bushes and everywhere. And we put them in our house. We put them all over the place. We put them on the streets to remind us of the comfort of light. We feast. Our gardens are bare, but we find food somewhere or another. And we as Baptists get together, we have covered dish. We bring everything. Food is everywhere. Christmas candy, fruit cakes, pound cakes, you name it, it's here. We gather, we get busy. We run ourselves ragged, we do the shopping thing, the cars, the entertaining parties, programs, TV specials, you name it. We get busy. And I wonder if there's just a little hint of desperation to all the busyness sometimes. Is it because of the darkness? Is it because of the cold? You see, idle time can be intimidating, especially in darkness. The dark robs us of our energy sometimes, and it kind of changes our mood, changes the way we think. It takes away a little bit of our security, doesn't it? But if you think about it this way, the darkness points us to the light. You know, we long for light. We long from the warmth that's generated from the light. So can we build on that and think about how we long for the light with a capital L? As Ward was sharing with the children, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. So can Advent and Christmas actually speak to our longing for God? You know, I don't know if you've ever cried out, God, open the heavens and just come down. I don't know if you've considered that or thought about that in quite this way, but lost love and and the passing of loved ones and broken hearts and shattered dreams, illnesses, accidents, you know, economic pressure, internet, all these events, all those things. And our prayers ring out in desperation. Our darkness is longing for some sense of light and warmth. And our desperate prayers betray the fact that we're actually longing for God. Can it be that God gives us that longing? Does God put that in us? That in darkness we long for Him? Is there any hope to be affirmed by the fact that our impatient cries are actually begging God to do something about our own sin and our own inadequacies? Is there indeed a Jesus-shaped emptiness in our lives? At the beginning of the service, Jeremy and Mary sang, Jesus, Messiah, name above all names. All our hope is in You, the light of the world. You see, there are times when our joy is full. You know, when we're comfortable, when we feel secure, at peace, and we genuinely feel the reassuring presence of God. But there are also times in the middle of impatience and our restlessness and our dissatisfaction, in the times when we want to cry out to God, where are You? You know, maybe those times are good also, because in God's absence, what it appears to us is God's absence, we're reminded that we need to long for Him. We need to desire God. We need to desire the light. And that feeling draws us to God. So our longing points us to the One who created us in the divine image and planted within us the desire to know that divine presence. And our crying out reveals the fact that we're actually longing for God. So we long to experience the fulfilled love and the grace and the hope that's available only through the Creator, the Savior, and the ever-present Spirit. And that longing is present because of promises. Jesus came to earth. Jesus comes to us now in word. Jesus will come again when all time is going to be fulfilled. But until He meets us face to face, that longing is going to be there. And the darkness will remind us of the Son, S-O-N, Blessed Advent. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, in our desperation, in our longing, and even in our sin, we look to You. Because, Father, You have provided the light of the world in Your Son, Jesus. You've created us. You know our very hearts. You know our weaknesses. You know our points where You need to touch and cleanse. Father, make us willing to receive Your correction, Your blessing, and Your ever-present Spirit. Father, as we begin a time of Advent together, a time of preparation for Christmas, for Christmas, the celebration of the coming of our Savior, we pray that You would tune our hearts to You so that even as we go in the darkness and even as we go in the cold, we would be reminded that there are people who are literally struggling and staggering because they have no hope. Help us to be agents of hope to a world that's dark and lost. Help us to be the ones who point them to the Son, S-O-N. For it's in His precious name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you have no hope in your life, you don't know what it means to experience the joy that we've talked about, the celebration of Advent. If you're not a believer, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. What better day to do it than on the first Sunday of Advent? To have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be glad to share with you as we sing how you can receive Jesus Christ. I'll be here at the front and be glad to talk with you and pray with you about it. If you're here and you're a believer and maybe you've been living in a situation where almost daily you find yourself saying, Lord, you know, just park the heavens and come back. Maybe there's too much desperation in your life give you a chance to pray where you are or maybe come here. Just get on your knees and thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ, the reason that we have hope, and realign your heart with Him. Perhaps you're here and you want to be a member of College Park. You don't know how that's done. I'll be glad to share with you. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that decision. We stand and sing together now. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon and come back tonight, discipleship at 6 o'clock and then live service at 7 o'clock. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the joy of this day, the beginning of the season of Advent. And Father, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive the gift of the Christ child. For it's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.